from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, everybody's favorite topic in the Bay, housing. Turns out Californians at large are feeling the pain too. 56% of California voters surveyed in a UC Berkeley poll said they've considered moving to escape rising housing costs. And about a quarter of them say they would most likely leave the state. Today on Forum, we'll talk about the Bay Area and California's affordability crisis and what it means for the future of the state. And we want to hear from you. Have you considered leaving California because of housing costs? Why or why not? And if you've already left, how's life outside the Golden State? Stay with us after the news. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim in for Michael Krasny. In a recent UC Berkeley poll, 65% of Bay Area voters say the problem of affordable housing is extremely serious. And that has a majority of voters surveyed in the Bay Area and across the state saying they've considered moving to escape high housing prices. Joining us to talk about this poll and what it means for residents around the state are Mark DiCamillo. He's the director of Berkeley's Institute for Governmental Studies poll. Hey, Mark.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. And we've also got Jim Wunderman. He's the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council. That's a regional business-sponsored public policy group. Hey, Jim.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Let's drill in real fast, Mark DiCamillo. We'll drill in a little bit more, but I just wanted to give some of the top line numbers here. One of the surprising things I found in this poll was that, you know, you would expect places on the coast of Northern California and Southern California to be griping about the housing, affordable housing and the high costs. But you have this category of other Southern California, other Northern California, as well as the Central Valley. A lot of the folks in that area are feeling the pain, too. Those are areas that we here consider to be affordable. What's going on?
Well, the job situation there isn't anywhere near like it is here in the Bay Area, so it's all relative. But you do see the concern and the people who say who think it's extremely serious problem. It's higher here in the Bay Area, 65% than anywhere else. It's 48% statewide. In the Central Valley, it's 38%. So the Bay Area sees it as a bigger deal. But when you ask people if they're ever considered moving out of state, a quarter of voters statewide say they have. And I think that's a surprisingly high number given the attractiveness of California.
I guess to me, it feels like for about the last 10 years, people have been complaining. I used to cover housing, so people have been complaining about the lack of affordable housing and the high cost of housing. Of course, the 2008 recession being an outlier. But so is that more people than normal, a quarter of people? Is that more people than normal that say they want to move out of the state?
I've never seen a number like that, and I've been polling in California for over 30 years. So, you know, I think the cost of housing, price of housing is really reaching a critical mass, and it's just becoming intolerable for a number of people. You know, this is just consideration of moving. It's not saying they're going to jump out and move. I think if things still go well in the economy, people will try to hang on. But you just wonder if there's a bump in the road, what might happen for some of these people.
I'm going to go to Angela Hill right now. We've got her on the line for a couple of minutes here. She's a columnist and feature writer with the Bay Area News Group, and she's reported on people who've actually left the Bay Area. Hey, Angela.
Hi.
I know you don't have a lot of time. I know you did a story also on folks who left. It seems like there's sort of a mixed bag in terms of their experience. You want to run down the good, the bad, and I guess the average experience?
Exactly. It does seem like there is quite a cross-section of results here. Several of the people I talked to were very pleased with their moves. We had a couple who had moved to Portland. They'd lived in San Jose their whole lives, and they just felt this encroaching crunch of the housing costs. A lot of these situations seem to go back to the 2008 recession. They had very good jobs, actually, in real estate at title companies, and they'd lost their jobs. They lost their home. They had owned a home, and they gradually rebuilt and did They did manage to get their careers back, but they eventually decided this just, there was so much negativity they felt. There was so much discussion constantly about traffic and housing prices. So they ultimately moved to Portland.
And it sounded like from your article that they got their jobs back and they're doing all right, but they were sort of treading water. They weren't able to save, and they didn't see a future in which they could buy a house again.
Exactly. That was exactly the situation. They felt like this was just, it was completely out of their reach.
Then you had another couple that went to Texas. Is that correct?
No.
Or was that, or where was that?
To, North Carolina.
Right, North Carolina. That's correct. Yeah, and so they were, tell us their story.
Yeah, they had left in, I believe it was 2005, just for their own family reasons. Other family members had bought property in a housing development back there, and they all moved back. And then this couple moved, came back to the Bay Area to visit just a couple of years ago. They had long been kind of homesick. You know, they'd felt like they were missing out. They were missing everything in California. But then when they came back a couple of years ago, they said, "What the hell happened?" They just saw all this traffic and the construction going on in the South Bay, particularly, and they were just amazed. And they said, "We're never moving back here."
Oh, so I thought there was a couple that had moved out and then they decided to move back because they missed the Bay Area so much.
Oh, no, that was actually a couple who moved to New Orleans.
Oh, got it. Right. Yeah. Tell me about them.
Yeah. Well, they actually only spent 9 months there. They had had jobs here, but had some difficulty with situations and sold their house in Walnut Creek and moved to New Orleans. The husband had a job opportunity there. And then they were just terribly unhappy. They particularly didn't feel they fit in with the political climate and numerous situations. Their son was in high school. He, you know, was without his friends. It was just not working out. And they moved back and they were able to get work here, but they are renting. They had a friend who opened up a rental for them. I think they stayed with friends for a little while and then they were able to rent. But they are thrilled that they moved back. They missed it so much.
I'm curious, the folks that you profiled were mostly couples. It sounded like they were married and they had like a family here. We've been hearing in this poll that a lot of millennials have these concerns about wanting, about the area being too expensive and wanting to move out. I'm wondering, during your reporting, if you were able to speak to some young folks and if you were able to gauge what they were feeling.
You know, we didn't. Just the people who responded on social media and so forth, it seemed to be more mature couples. We did not get a lot of millennials who responded.
Was there a big takeaway that you had from these three folks? Or was it really just like, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it's just like people just suck it up and make, you know, just make the move and just live their lives?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody's situation is different. And it does seem like there is I guess the takeaway would be that there is a lot of not really unhappiness with the way things are going in the Bay Area, but definitely people are feeling discomfort and they want to make a change.
Well, Angela, thanks so much for joining us on the line here. I know you got to go out and report another story. Thanks for coming onto the show.
Thank you.
That was Angela Hill. She's a columnist and feature writer with the Bay Area News Group, and she reported on people who have left the Bay Area. And in the studio with us to continue this conversation, we have Mark DiCamillo. He's the director of Berkeley's Institute for Governmental Studies poll, and Jim Wunderman. He's the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council. That's a regional group, that regional business-sponsored public policy group. And I wanted to open up the phone lines pretty quickly here. If you if you're thinking about leaving the Bay Area, if you want to weigh in on housing and sort of how you're seeing your life here, or if you see putting down roots here, give us a call at 866-733-7625. 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Or email us your questions. That's at forum@kqed.org. Or you can post them to kqed.org/forum. Jim Wunderman, I wanted to ask you, you all did a study that sort of mirrors this new poll that's out showing that a lot of millennials are concerned about the Bay Area in terms of putting down roots here and living here. But housing was only one of the factors that they had described as a concern. What were the others?
Yeah, well, thank you. So we did a poll for the Bay Area in that we released at the end of March. And similarly, it said 40% of folks in the Bay Area have considered or are considering leaving over the next few years. And that was 46% for millennials. And housing was the number one issue that was described. But, you know, there was also traffic, you know, figures fairly highly in that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think just to reflect on all this, the nature of the problem that we have in the Bay Area is one that's based on our success as a region. People have been coming here from all over the country, as well as the folks who were raised in the area. And it's a very, very attractive place to live for a number of reasons. We have the kind of economy that folks around the country and the world are trying to mirror, knowledge-based economy, very, very strong, one of the most successful economies in the world, the climate of progressivism that's here, the venture capital that attracts mm-hmm. young people coming out of college with a chance to actually get their project funded. Everybody knows the place to go is Silicon Valley in the Bay Area. We have the physical environment, the geography, people who come to the Bay Area as tourists. It's one of the happiest places to visit, according to the folks who grade that sort of thing. So we've got a constant movement of people here, especially when the economy is strong, who want to be here. And I think ideally the people who are here who would like to stay. But there's no question that with housing costs rising to where they've gone, and with the our inability over generations, despite a lot of investments, to keep up with the infrastructure needs, we're facing a bit of a diminishing quality of life. And those are the key issues that the Bay Area Council is working really hard to address. And they're really tough issues.
I hear you about a lot of millennials and young folks coming out here, especially in the tech sector, because, you know, the jobs are plentiful. But I also cover tech, and I've been going to a lot of these sort of political activist meetings where a lot of tech workers are starting to show up, engineers, folks you would consider to have the high-paying knowledge worker jobs. And surprisingly, a lot of them are really getting into housing activism. And it seems like they feel like, yeah, things are okay now that I'm young, but if I play this out and want to get married and have a home and have a kid, they just don't feel like the Bay Area is that place for them. Seems like they're trying to change that, but they also have it in the back of their minds that this might not be the place where they settle. And so I guess I'm wondering, what sort of effect do you think that might have on business? You get this young crop of workers, but you can't keep them and they leave.
Well, when you talk to folks in at the top of companies or HR folks, of course, the main thing businesses need to do is to attract, develop, and retain their talent. So this pressure on folks to actually need to leave because they can't afford to live here is a big deal. And where this was always a topic of conversation with our business members, today it's a scream test kind of thing. So we take it very, very seriously. We're really happy that the younger workers are starting to organize, the YIMBYs, yes, in my backyard, and they've actually shown up in big ways in some cities to say we need the city council or the town needs to support developments which historically would have been either reduced or rejected. And that's a very positive development. So, we think that the fact that people are getting organized is a really good thing, that they're frustrated and it's not just crying out about it, but do something about it is a really good thing. The home rule that California put in place, where local governments have the final say over what gets developed and not, is really inconsistent in an urbanized region where we've invested a lot of in infrastructure and picture BART and Caltrain and so forth, where, you know, it really shouldn't be up to a local government to decide that there shouldn't be at least modest dense urban housing and development around a major rail station. And so these are the kind of changes we're looking for the state to make. They did just put on the ballot SB3, which will provide money for affordable housing, and SB2, which will provide additional funds through a real estate transfer fee for the future. So the state's beginning SB35, Senator Wiener's bill, which provide some regulatory streamlining. It's a beginning. It's a good beginning. The state is beginning to take notice. And a Mark DiCamillo's poll at Berkeley, which shows this isn't just a Bay Area issue. It's actually a statewide issue. Misery loves company. So this is a good trend.
I wanted to go to call right now because he can only stay with us for a couple seconds. And that's Michael from San Jose. Hey, Michael. Welcome to Forum. I hear you have a story to share with us.
Yeah, I've been here for 30 years. And I have to move. This place is so unaffordable. I had a family here, and everybody moved away, and I'm the last one left, and I just can't take it anymore. I'm moving to Virginia, and I'm just living paycheck to paycheck, and I spend $1,000 on rent, and then I have to work another 4 weeks until I can, like, spend another $1,000 on rent. Like,
and may I ask what you do for a living?
I'm a processor where I serve legal documents. They're just like pushing people out of this area. Like all the good, hardworking people are getting pushed out. It's ridiculous.
Now, you said you've lived here for about 20 years, and I'm curious, 30 years, yeah. I'm curious, is it just housing that's changed, or are there other factors that are motivating you to move out of the state or think about moving out of the state?
Every day I'm in the car. I drive around for a living. I do about 150 miles a day. I get flipped off. I get brake checked. I get, if I'm not going indie on the highway, then you're getting the finger. It's ridiculous.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for sharing your story, and good luck with your move to Virginia.
Thank you.
That's a story that I hear a lot. There's the traffic, and also, from a lot of young folks, it seemed like it used to be people would leave San Francisco for the East Bay because it was affordable. And now it's like people are leaving California. And I do hear from a lot of young tech workers that I cover, it's like, in addition to the housing, the traffic, all my friends are gone and there's nobody to hang out with anymore in California. So why stay? Is that reflective of, I mean, you guys have been in this space for a while. I'm wondering if you guys are hearing similar things or...
Well, the poll does show that among the people who are considering moving because of affordability in their area, I would have thought a larger proportion would have just decided, well, maybe I'll find another place somewhere in the same area or maybe somewhere else around the state. But our poll is actually showing that more are considering moving out of the state than either of those alternatives. So that, to me, was a surprising finding. California has always been an attractive place to live. It's a magnet to people from all over the country and the world. And I agree with a lot of what Jim was saying, but we may have reached a point where, it's diminishing returns to people and they're weighing the options to move out.
Mark, Jim had touched on some of the policy initiatives that are making their way through the state. You've actually been polling folks to see how much support there is for that. Can you run down a couple of the bigger items or some of the more surprising findings?
Right. The legislature did pass some major pieces of legislation relating to housing in this last session. One of them, which voters will see, will be a multi-billion dollar, I think it's a $4 billion a bond for the construction of more low-income housing. That'll be on the November 2018 ballot. When we asked voters how they would vote if the election were today on that kind of a bond, it is supported by about a 2-to-1 margin, 51% to 27%, but a large portion are undecided. They want to hear more about it. And as you might expect, big partisan differences in preferences. Democrats overwhelmingly supportive by about 6-to-1.
And I wanted to stop there because actually... You say not surprisingly because we are such a partisan country right now. On the other hand, I imagine that housing affects everybody, right? Whether you're red or blue, and even whether you live in blue or red parts of the state, it seems from your poll. It was curious to me that support of these policies, even rent control, still breaks down on partisan lines. I'm wondering if you have any insight into that.
Well, it goes to the solutions to the problems. I think everyone agrees the problem exists. I think Republicans have a different mindset in terms of how you might remedy the problem. More bonds for building more low-income housing to Republicans, that may not be the right solution. Republicans may be more saying, you know, you need to change the regulatory environment, make things a little easier for builders to build. But one thing in the poll that was surprising to me was when we offered the second policy alternative, which had to do with rent control, even larger majority of Californians were in favor of that, 60%. And in fact, a larger proportion of Republicans favored rent control than were in favor of the bond, 35% of Republicans. So
I think that a swing?
I think it is. I think Republicans would traditionally be opposed to government rent control kinds of measures. But what you're seeing is that they think we need something immediate. We need something that gives us relief right away. Building our way into new housing may not have a direct impact on many voters, and that's probably why we're seeing greater support for rent control.
And Jim, I was curious. You are the president of the Bay Area Council. It's a regional business-sponsored public policy group. Have you been seeing any shifts over the years in terms of the regulations as well as policies like rent control that your group is willing to support? And, you know, any shift from what they were willing to support in the past or not willing to support to what's happening now?
Well, we support the need for more public financing for housing for people at low and moderate income, because the gap between what a lot of people can afford and what a unit would cost is just too great. However, you know, let's recognize that only 4% of the housing in California is subsidized, so 96% is market rate. And we're doing a really poor job in the state over two generations of building that housing. We need to be building 180,000 units a year in the state. We've been building a little less than 80,000. So we keep increasing this gap. And a lot of the policies that folks come up with, including rent control, while it may provide immediate relief, or inclusionary zoning, or more fees and more regulations, which has been the trend over the last couple of generations, what that's done is it's capped the ability of people to actually deliver market rate housing. And the effect of that is increases in price. And it's a supply and demand curve. So what we need to do is realize that we didn't get into this situation overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. We need to really get serious about building. We need to densify some areas where that's appropriate. We also need to think about, and this is something that we've been working on a lot lately, is how to better connect the Bay Area with the much more affordable areas outside the Bay Area, northern San Joaquin County, Sacramento, where a lot more and more people are commuting and they're engaging in this horrible commute by car because there's no mass transit alternative. So we're focusing a lot on connecting the Bay Area to other areas, you know, through an improved mass transit systems. That's a really important thing going forward.
You're listening to Forum, and we're talking about a new UC Berkeley poll that finds that majority of voters in the Bay Area and across California are considering moving out of the state because of the high housing costs. We're going to keep this conversation going in the next part of the show, so please stay with us. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Queenie Kim in for Michael Krasny today, and we're talking about a new UC Berkeley poll that found a majority of voters in the Bay Area and across California have considered a move to escape the affordable housing crisis. We are speaking to Mark DiCamillo. He's the director of Berkeley's Institute for Governmental Studies poll, and Jim Wunderman is the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council. That's a regional business-sponsored public policy group, and we'd like to hear from you. Have you considered leaving the Bay Area because of the housing prices? And if so, where would you go? What's kept you here and what's compelled you to leave? And if you've left, please give a call out. We are at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. And as you can imagine, we have a lot of comments and calls here. So let's just start working our way through them. John Los Gatos, welcome to Forum. I'm sorry, is that... Hello, Molly?
Hi, yes.
Sorry, wrong person. Molly in Berkeley. Welcome to Forum.
Hi, thank you so much. Should I just repeat what I asked before?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I guess I've heard a lot of... So I'm a Bay Area native. I'm 27 years old. And I've heard a lot of talk from people who are, you know, trying out affordable housing for people of low and moderate income brackets. And then they talked about, you know, affordable housing for the tech community. And I just wanted to offer what are people who are going to be in kind of more mid-level income brackets? Is there any hope for us? Because... You know, what I've heard, you know, kind of a number of times now is that San Francisco has one of the lowest birth rates in our country. It just seems like we're becoming a city of just tech and tech employees. If that is the way it is. But I'd rather kind of know that instead of this, oh, we're building affordable housing, we're going to make it work. It just doesn't seem sustainable as is. And it just seems like what I've heard from housing, development experts, et cetera, doesn't seem compatible with the reality.
Yeah, and I hear you. And I think that's a question that a lot of folks have. Affordable housing has always sort of been framed as a low-income issue for low-income workers. And now I think more and more people in middle and upper-middle-class jobs are feeling the pinch, too, but not feeling that there's a lot of relief. And I'm wondering what you guys see in terms of the outlook or the policy in terms of what the council might be doing or, you know, what's happening in Sacramento to give relief to middle and upper middle class folks.
So we're beginning to get some traction on the movement toward workforce housing. So in the bond issues that have passed regionally, one in Santa Clara County in 2016 and also in Alameda County, a portion of the fairly significant funds are going towards folks in the 80 to 120% of median income. Now, it's a modest
portion. How much is that for, you know, what does that mean? Like, what in dollar amounts, what are we talking about?
People who earn as a family $80,000 or $90,000 a year, you know, could be covered and receive a subsidized unit. But it's a small percentage. Most of the money is set aside for folks at the lower income so far. We're also looking at different kinds of ways to program this to see for the future, because I think Molly's point is really well taken, is that, you know, you've got this middle class that's escaping. That's what we're really talking about here. And we really can't afford to have that happen. So as a society, I think we have to make some decisions as to whether or not we want to treat the provision of housing similarly as we treat other services like police and fire and maintaining parks and libraries. Historically, in this country, in this state, we really haven't done that. You're sort of on your own for housing. Mm-hmm. But we may be reaching a time based on just the realities of the situation where folks who own, you know, Prop 13 doesn't help with this. It hinders. But maybe we need to start having a real conversation about having the society in general contributing to support housing, so that because we don't want to have a region of only wealthy people and tech workers who kind of bear the brunt of this. But the tech worker is kind of the modern factory worker, from the Industrial Revolution. So, you know, I think the conversation that we're having, if you look at this poll, mm-hmm. the seriousness at which people are taking this across society provides an opportunity to maybe think differently about how we approach this in the future.
And Mark, I'm wondering, I know you guys look at what Dems and Republicans think. In your polling, do you look at income or, you know, how much they're making? And what are you finding? Are you finding more upper middle class and middle class folks concerned about this problem than in the past?
I think it spans most income groups. I mean, that's the surprising thing. One of the big differences does relate to whether you own your own home or you're a renter. Renters are much more inclined to say this is a big problem and that they would favor rent control. They would favor anything to stabilize the situation, and that's kind of the more immediate concern. But if you've been in your house and you own the house for many years, you know, you're more likely to say, well, I'm fine, and it's not that big a deal. So I think that's where the biggest differences are across the state. And it's not just the Bay Area, as Jim is describing. It is everywhere. It is in L.A. It's in the South Coast counties of Orange and San Diego. Even the Central Valley is having problems with housing affordability just because it's a relative thing. Their income salary ranges are much lower there, but the price of housing is still, relatively speaking, expensive.
We've got a lot of comments. I'm going to read some of them. We have Bridget who writes, She's moving to North Carolina, and she says, although my husband is in the tech industry, our family of six has been priced out of the area. We're now transferring to North Carolina. We've been in the Bay Area for 25 years, so it was not an easy decision. Lauren tweets, I moved away from the Bay because of the cost of living and to avoid all the Silicon Valley speak and culture. I can't believe I didn't leave sooner. And Jean writes, I'm hoping to leave ASAP. But my job is here and my partner takes care of the family. It's not just housing, it's everything. Traffic, urine-soaked streets, homeless encampments, rude people, overpriced restaurants pushing out neighborhood favorites. The jewel of a city has been used and abused by greed. After 46 years, my heart is broken over the state of the region. I'm going to go to some calls again. Here's Bella, or is it Bea, from Boulder Creek. Hey, Bella.
Yeah. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My husband and I moved to the Bay Area 3 years ago. It was my first job after grad school. And when we found out that I was pregnant after a year of living here, we thought about leaving because we couldn't afford rent here. So we looked into other options, and we ended up actually buying a tiny house on wheels. And it's been an incredible solution. It's allowed us to have a single-income household where my husband takes care of our baby. And I'd really love to see some changes in zoning codes and regulations.
So how does that
about tiny houses?
How does that work? Like, you have a tiny house on wheels. Do you move that house around, or do you have a plot of land, or?
We're actually parked on a plot of land. We don't own the land, but we do own our house. So instead of, you know, spending $30,000 a year on rent and not ever getting it back, we'll be done paying off our house in 3 years.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And Jim, I'm wondering if we are seeing more, I guess, imagination or flexibility amongst our policymakers. We've been seeing a lot of movement towards the tiny homes. Any other sort of, this is a really interesting idea. I never thought of, you know, moving your house around on wheels. I guess it's a modern day mobile home or mobile park sort of idea. Are you seeing anything else out there in terms of stuff that's being considered, even sort of moonshot ideas?
Yeah, you know, at the Bay Area Council, we have a housing committee, and almost every meeting we have folks come in and show us new innovations in housing. If you take a look at industry in general, there's been tremendous innovation and changes in efficiencies over the last century in the way things are done. Not true in housing. Pretty much the way a house is built today is like it was in the early part of the 20th century. And so what we're seeing is a movement toward manufactured housing, where you can bring down the cost by about 20%. We're taking a look at tiny homes, which are being actually implemented in a number of different places. So there are a lot of different innovations. The idea of moving them around is something we haven't discussed, so maybe it's time for some talk about that. There are some restrictions because it takes some time for local zoning to catch up with these things, and that's the debate and the state. So those are things that are conversations that are taking place now. But with the kind of angst that's reflected in the poll by Berkeley that Mark brought to us, I think that policymakers are going to be really focusing in their own communities on how we can look at housing differently, lest we risk losing the people like the ones who've been calling in and saying, you know, enough is enough. I just can't make it here anymore.
Let's go to Andrew. I'm sorry. Let's go to Paul in Corte Madera. Hey, Paul. Welcome to Forum.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Make it quick. I'm a structural engineer in Marin County, and I'm a part of the pandemic 50-year-old men who've been divorced and lost everything. I still have six figures in the bank, no debt. I paid for my kids' college education.
Good for
you. I built my house when I was 25 and paid it off. And now I'm stripped down to just cash in the bank. I can't even touch the real estate market in Northern California and Marin County, especially where I've have my career and family. And so I'm looking. I don't have 30 years left in my body to do it all over again. And I'm just going to move out of not the state, probably the whole country, and become an expat because I can go to Cancun or Belize or somewhere and just pay tax for a home.
Mark, I'm wondering, in your poll, you did talk to renters and homeowners. Are there homeowners who are just sort of feeling stuck, even though the rest of us might think that they're really lucky?
Right. Well, homeowners have a different situation. They may have the equity that's in their home, and they may be looking at that and saying, wow, I could stretch out my quality of living if I could tap into that and maybe sell what I have here in California and go somewhere else, whether it's out of the country or another state. So that's a different consideration than what you're just talking about with the majority, where the renters are just screaming because they can't, even get into the market. But at the other end, you may think that, it might be time to cash in your chips and live a little higher lifestyle than what you'd be able to do here in California.
Well, we've got Julie Park Tracy on the line. She left Alameda in February and moved to Forestville. And Julie, are you there? Yes. Julia Park Tracy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I hear you've got a story to share about moving out of the Bay Area.
Yes, I do. Kind of benefited from the meltdown in 2008-09. We were not able to buy in the Bay Area. We were living in Alameda. We're both lifelong, natives of the Bay Area, and both divorced. And when we got together, our credit was crappy, and we had five kids between us. So we rented in Alameda because we could not afford anything big enough. So we rented actually out at the old Navy base. And then as the kids grew up, we were down to one kid, and we rented an apartment. We were renting an apartment in right near the high school. But in houses were standing empty. And so in 2011, we scraped together some money and bought this place up in Forestville. Like literally took a loan from our 401k. We had, 10,000 here and 5,000 there, and scraped together, and for about $50,000, we bought a vacation home up here. It's a little two-bedroom, 650 square feet. It was in terrible condition. It took us a couple years to fix it up, it didn't smell like mildew anymore and whatever. And, an hour and 15 minutes from the Bay Area, and it was fun for weekends and we could lend it to people and so on. So, and we bought it in cash, and we owned it outright. Well, we're in the East Bay, like I said, in an apartment, and my husband had some health issues, and he was working in biotech, and then he was working in online retail, so, startups and so on, and good income. But at a certain point when his health got worse, it didn't make sense for us to be paying $2,000, a month in rent and commuting costs. From him to get from Alameda to the dog patch could take 2 hours, even though it's like 12 miles or something is not that far, but it could take up to 2 hours to get there. And the same on whether he took BART and the ferry or whatever. So when his health started deteriorating, we said, he's retiring from disability. I'm a freelancer, so I can work wherever. So we decided to move to Forestville to our little house. So we're here in the 650-square-foot house in Forestville. We're not that far from our family and friends and so on. But, we own the house outright as opposed to paying this rent anymore.
And how are you liking the move? Are you, 'cause we've heard from other folks, although you've only moved an hour away, but from other folks that sometimes a move isn't as easy as they thought it would be. How's your experience turning out?
The experience has been actually really, really good. It's good for his health because he can get outside, and when he was kind of trapped in the apartment, that wasn't as good. It's quiet here in a way that it's not quiet in the East Bay because we were, basically under the flight path for the Oakland airport. So nonstop barrage of airplanes flying over in the East Bay, whereas here, occasionally you'll hear a little prop plane or something. Even the Santa Rosa Airport is not an issue. And sirens were nonstop in the East Bay, and we don't have that. We have chainsaws up here. We have chickens up here, but we don't have that same noise. But the one of the things that is really different is the walkability, because out here you're either on a little country road or you're basically on a highway. These like 116 and River Road and so on, you get these massive trucks going by, so you can't really walk, or you take your life in your hands to walk or ride your bike. So that's a challenge.
Well, Julia, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story, and I'm glad it worked out for you there.
It has worked out. Thank you for having me.
Great. Thank you. And yes, Jim, you had a comment to make.
Yeah, so that's a great story, Julia. And technically, you do still live in the Bay Area because Forestville's in Sonoma County. So while you might not consider commuting into San Francisco or Oakland to work, you are in one of the nine Bay Area counties. One of the things the Bay Area Council did last year with Senator Wieckowski was pass a bill, SB 1069, which reformed the way cities review and approve and really streamline alternate dwelling units. So these are what some have called granny units historically. And what this allows folks to do who do own a home is to enlarge their house or put a separate unit on their property without paying the myriad of fees and going through planning processes, which really hindered the ability to do this. And so we believe we're already seeing very positive trends of people beginning to create these expansions to build homes like the one Julia described, 600, 700-foot homes. People aren't all in the situation where they need a large space. This can accommodate, in many cases, teachers, service workers, students, family members, and others who could now stay in the Bay Area or even come to the Bay Area and increase the overall supply without changing communities in any material way and be able to accommodate folks who just don't have the kind of financing available to either buy a new home or even rent a larger place. So we're really positive that this can help, and we're working with all of the cities, and this is a statewide bill, so it's happening in other parts of the state too, that this could be a major improvement in California for housing.
Well, let's get to some calls. Here's Arlene in Oakland. Hey, Arlene, welcome to Forum.
Hi, it's actually Darlene.
Oh, Darlene. Sorry, yeah. It's written incorrectly here. But yeah, go ahead. What's up?
So I'm calling as a resident of Oakland whose family has been here for over 100 years. In fact, I still live in the same neighborhood that my family moved into 100 years
You're
ago.
You're a rare species in the Bay, an actual native.
Getting rarer by the moment. And I happen to own a small 1,000-square-foot home, and my property taxes are going higher and higher because of the jacked-up housing market. And I'm a single parent with three kids. I can't afford to pay my property taxes. I'm paying like $2,700 a month for my 1,000-square-foot house. And I have nowhere to go if I lose my house, because I wouldn't be able to find anything cheaper. And I have a local business that I'm dependent on for income, so I can't. That's another reason for not moving. And I don't want to move. I love Oakland. This is my home, and I have a lot of anger and resentment about all these folks moving in and changing the landscape so people like me can't even live in our very long-term home. And it's just, it's really heartbreaking. So,
well, Darlene, thanks so much for sharing your story. Let's go to another call, Peter from Castro Valley. Hey, Peter, welcome to Forum.
Hi. So my wife and I are also in that middle class, upper middle class range. She has a master's degree. I am a skilled trade and a veteran. And we have three kids. We rent in Castro Valley, and the prices are just, we feel lucky to be in the house we're in. But with three kids, we can only go so small. I drive all over the Bay Area. She works as close as possible to our home. And I'm kind of wondering, as I look at the San Mateo Bridge traffic that's still backed up at this time, are tech companies being influenced to try to get housing built into these beautiful campuses that they're putting up all over the place, that kind of arcology model where they can support their own support staff, their employees in nice on-site condo units? I know Facebook keeps talking about that. Apple doesn't do much for Cupertino, but they should do more. The buses are great, but I know all those people do not take the bus.
Well, Peter, thanks for sharing your story. And Jim Wunderman, I'm wondering if you could talk to that. I know that, if I've got this correctly, Google wanted to build housing on their campus, but then we ran into this whole issue of local control. And if I understand this correctly, the city nixed that idea, the mixed-use idea.
Yeah, there is a proposal by Google right now in Mountain View to build, I think it's on the order of housing for 8,000 or 9,000 people. I mean,
and not just exclusively for their employees, correct?
Not necessarily, right. Yeah. Right. So I think you know, these large companies, major employers, are beginning to kind of step up to the plate and recognize that, you know, they're bringing in a lot of people and they have to be part of the solution, and they're very much participative in the conversations that we're having, and they're having their own about how to innovate new solutions and maybe provide housing for their own employees and the overall community. So mm-hmm. I think there is recognition of this. You know, we're in a place that attracts people, and it's a shame that you can have an economy that people can actually work in and come to, and at the same time people can't they can't stay because we can't provide enough housing for them. So that seems like a mismatch, and we just really need to overcome this.
Mark, I'm wondering, I used to cover housing, and we all know housing is cyclical, right? It goes sort of, the prices go up. And I think the last boom before 2008, I heard a lot of the same chatter, not enough housing, too restrictive. Cities are too restrictive in terms of building housing. It's a big problem. And then we saw the 2008 bust, and we saw this sort of cycle. I'm wondering if this time it feels a little bit more differently in terms of what you're seeing in the polling. Do you feel like there's more of a pressure valve there in terms of what folks are feeling?
Yeah, I think it is a little different now than it was 10 years ago. I think just the level of pricing is just beyond reach of many people, and that's it wasn't necessarily that way. There were more options 10 years ago for alternatives just outside your own area where you live. And even when you consider other regions, Portland's getting expensive, Seattle's getting expensive. So a lot of the other metropolitan areas that you might want to consider are starting to get pricey as well. So I think the whole housing crisis is much higher in order of magnitude than it was in the last bust.
Speaking of Portland, Cynthia writes, "My husband and I are native Midwesterners, but we met in California. We relocated to Portland, and it was horrible. We weren't accepted because we were Californians, and my Puerto Rican husband felt unwelcome. We then moved to the Midwest, but the weather and unfulfilling job weighed on us. We jumped at the chance to move back to California. We leave frugally, but we could not be happier. This is our forever home." Let's go to Marga in Berkeley. Hey, Marga, welcome to Forum.
Hello. I have a question for the guest, but first I'd like to tell you that I moved out here originally, accidentally, in the summer of love, ended up buying a house for a 24-bedroom house for $20,000.
Did you say a 24-bedroom house?
No, just a four.
Oh, four bedroom house. Okay, sorry. Yes, I was going to say.
But I had a wonderful experience. Berkeley's a great place to raise children. My son who's now in his 50s, still has the friends he made in the Berkeley schools. But when I wanted to move back here to enjoy old friends and. The pricing was amazing, and mm-hmm. it seemed to me it was because of all the house flipping that mm-hmm. people were buying residential properties for profit, and that landlords were making tremendous profit on renting tiny little spaces, many of them in one house, to students. So I wanted to ask the panel, because I haven't heard them talk about the profit-making aspect of people from outside of an area buying to make
right,
a
the speculators and such. And actually, I'm going to hold off on their answer for a second because we got another call from Justin in Oakland who has a similar question. Hey, Justin, welcome to Forum. Okay, next person. Yes, Howard.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, my question is piggybacking off the last caller.
Yes.
I don't know if it's been discussed yet, but the influx of foreign capital, mostly from Asia, into the Bay Area, I'm just wondering if any municipalities have considered a mm-hmm. tax such as I believe Vancouver just instituted on properties which are not resident-owned.
Yeah, and those are two really good questions. I think they sort of dovetail. One is about speculators coming in, and then the other thing is about foreign investors. Wondering if either of you have a comment on that, maybe Jim?
Well, we see this trend here in the Bay Area to a degree, and you see it in other parts of America and around the world. So real estate markets are business markets. They're subject to speculation. We really don't like to see that happening. We'd like to see the housing that exists in the region be made available to the people who either live in the region or want to live in the region. I know there have been some discussions about ways to regulate this. I don't know that there's been any traction on it at this point, but it's certainly something to consider as part of the overall solution. Again, most of the problem that we're facing is the market for constructing homes in the Bay Area has fallen short for two generations, and we need to start getting serious about catching up on that. We're not going to solve this problem. So it's a vexing issue, but it's good to have, you know, the folks who are calling in. You know, we can feel the pain. We're all feeling this pain together. I've got four kids in this region, and I'm worried about their ability to stay with their family. So we're all in this together. We need to solve it together.
You're listening to Forum. We are speaking to Mark DiCamillo. He's the director of Berkeley's Institute for Governmental Studies poll. And Jim Wunderman is the president and CEO of the Bay Area Council. That's a regional business-sponsored public policy group. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Queenie Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.